He satisfies our desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And sometimes I hear people praying that Psalm 103, and they're rich themes, are they not? And then you get to verse 7 and you kind of go, huh? Because in the middle of all these incredible things that God does, he made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. And then he continues on with the good stuff. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And I recall many times reading that and hitting that verse 7 and saying, huh? Why is that one on the list? Because I've come to take it for granted that God reveals himself to mankind. Why is that a given? Why is it a given that the God of the universe would pick this small place in his universe and care and want to communicate and be known? And really, when you think of it, that's the door to all the other blessings. The only way, the reason we know that he forgives our sins and heals and redeems and does all those things is because God has chosen to communicate with us. It's one of the great proofs that God loves us, that God wants to be known. Some of you know from other years, I haven't talked about Aline Gooley for a while, so a series of messages in the year is never complete without an Aline Gooley story. Aline I met over 20 years ago, and she was a hermit living here in Helena. She never left her house. Her oxygen cord wound around through the pile stacks of newspapers. She wore the same vest all winter long and turned it inside out halfway through the winter so she could have a fresh set of clothing. She was bitter and embittered by life, and we grew to love her. And it was one of the great stories in my life and my children's life as we loved on Aline Gooley for many years. So I'm just biting my tongue because there are just any number of stories that I would love to tell you about her. Okay, one. So one day she has me trim the big bush outside of her porch window. And then she calls me in and she says, nope. You have to trim it lower. I'm short. I still can't see into my neighbor's yard. I said, Aline, you mean to tell me you stand in here and you watch, spy on your neighbors? Well, what else does an old lady like me have to do? Case closed. Well, one day I said to Aline, I'd like you to meet my wife. Rhonda's a special lady. You would love her. And how about if you let me put you in the car, and I'll drive you across town, and you can see where I live, and you could meet Rhonda. And her comment was classic Aline. She said, I already know more people than I want to know. No, I don't want to meet your wife. She didn't want to know or be known. But God knows you intimately, and he wants you to know him. And that's one of the great proofs that he loves us. He wants to give us that great joy and blessing and enrichment of knowing the eternal God. There's five ways that we come to, that God reveals himself to us. I used to love to preach Psalm 19, 1-4 to the kids on our mountain trips. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And I would stand out there in the mountains or the stars or the clouds and the mountain lakes. And I had my own paraphrase. I would say, the earth is shouting out, God is awesome. It's shouting out. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. There is no culture in all of the universe that doesn't have creation surrounding them that is shouting out, God is awesome. that voice goes out into all the earth. The words, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun. And then it goes on. This is called the general revelation of God in creation. And Romans 1:20 tells us that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, and notice, his eternity and his power, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. From day one, everyone has been able to look at creation and say, there is an eternal God, and he is powerful. So that nobody is without excuse. And somebody says, well, then why do they need to hear of Christ? Well, there's also an enemy of God who is twisting and distorting, and those people don't turn out normally. It's pretty rare the culture that hears of Jesus and says, oh, that's his name. We've been worshiping him. That's a pretty rare occasion. More often, cultures have been deceived into becoming animists and other religious groups. And so creation is a powerful witness, but not a sufficient witness in our world. So God began to send prophets. Hebrews 1 tells us a second way that he communicated is that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And a lot of our Bible is, and that's where I'm at in the Bible reading now. Ezekiel was a prophet who was told, and God said to him specifically, tell Israel this. The very words were given to them. And they were just to speak those words. That was the role of the prophet. A third one that Hebrews continues on to say, that's how God spoke to us in the past. But in these last days, there's a greater revelation, something that supersedes even the prophets, and that is he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. And notice, the exact representation of his being. That's one of my favorite phrases in all of the Bible. You want to know what God is like? People say, well, how do we really know if there's a God or what he's like? Well, Jesus one day put a body on it and walked it around on earth. He said, you want to know what God's love looks like? You want to know what God's truth looks like? And he put a body on it, and Jesus walked around and showed us in tangible ways what God was. He's the exact representation of his being. To see and understand Jesus is to see God. And after sustaining all things by his powerful word, and he continues on. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was the living Word, and that Word was written down. And so we have the Bible as another form of revelation. And Peter wants to make it sure that above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came by the prophet's own interpretation. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In the past, God spoke through prophets, now through his Son and his Word. And so, really, the role of that Old Testament prophet is diminished. Still have prophecy today. Paul spoke of it in his writings. There's still the role of prophecy, but we're not dependent on it for someone to come and say, this is what God says. Because now we have Jesus and the Bible, and we have also the Holy Spirit. John 14:16-17 says, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, and that's the most common description that Jesus used of the Holy Spirit. He would be truth to us. Now, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now think about that. In the Old Testament, there was a Holy Spirit, and he came upon people, Samson, others. He came upon them for particular tasks, particular times. But he didn't reside on earth. And they had experienced the Holy Spirit with them. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out, and now he is within each and every believer and is available for us to show us what God is like. When the Counselor, the Holy Spirit and the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. All right, let's take a little bit of a breath here. Are you alert to the ways that God is revealing himself to you? We have a God who wants to be known. And he's going to great measures. Creation. He's planted himself all through it. Are you out there just having fun, or does creation shout out to you, God is awesome? And you stop and reflect on that. I loved that about our backpacking camps. At any turn of the trip, there was a reason to stop and say, look at how amazing God is. And I remember the one young lady who said to us once, she said, wow. She said, I've been to the mountains many times with my parents, and we've never thought about God. And you guys are thinking about him all the time. Well, do we get kind of callous to that? Or never lose the awe, kind of the idea. Are we alert to the ways that in creation God is showing himself? Are we taking opportunity of all five of these means? Do we read those old prophets occasionally, and not that we need their message or need to hear 100 times how Israel's going to be punished for their sin, but do we read them and need to realize that God wanted to communicate his righteousness and his holiness and how the important themes that he brings up? Do we study the life of Jesus? You know, Jesus is one of those figures that most people, when you talk to them, now increasingly many do not believe in him, but most of the people that I converse with about Christ, they're, oh yeah, they believe in Jesus. But do they live by his teachings and his values? Do they understand his lifestyle? Some of the things that he calls sin. Do they really know Jesus because of a life of living with him on a daily basis? Are you alert to that? That Christ, rose again from the dead, the Easter message. And Paul said, Christ lives in me. And so every day, can we be alert to that and saying, Jesus, today I'm looking for the ways that you're going to show yourself and reveal yourself to me. Through the Bible, do we read it? When I was in Mexico, I asked Monsi if he had a Bible. I had prepared little John 3:16 in Spanish. I'd learned to read it. I'd learned a couple of the words, what they meant. And I was going to show how God so loved the world, not when it was good, but that he loved it when it was evil. And I had this little thing ready. So I said to Monsi, do you have one of your Spanish Bibles here? I said that through somebody who knew Spanish. And he went and got it. And you know what he did as he handed it to me? He pretended to blow the dust off. And I said, universal. In America, we kind of make a joke of having to blow the dust off our Bible because it has sat there so long. And here he was in Mexico. It's universal that we lay claim to the Bible being the inspired word of God and don't treat it like it is. God wants to reveal himself to you. And daily reading of God's word is one of the ways, and then the Holy Spirit. Listening to him and inviting him and welcoming him. Christ lives in us by the Holy Spirit who is here. Jesus has his glorified body. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's left the Holy Spirit to do all the things that Jesus would do. And we can be alert. We can be looking for the ways in which God is seeking to communicate to us today. You know that I have urged you to practice the presence of God. And that is one of the things that we can do throughout the day to practice His presence, is to say, Lord, many times through the day, Lord, I'm alert to the ways that You are seeking to communicate with me. I'm looking for those. It's one of our great blessings that we have a God who reveals Himself to us. And many of us grew up learning verses like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and what? He'll direct your path. That God will be revealing Himself to us. Psalm 119, 105. And you know, I was thinking as I put these down on paper, I'm like, I'm so glad for my vacation Bible school contest that caused me to sit out under, and some adult said, these are some verses that'll be really useful. And they have been. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. God wants to reveal Himself. Well, today I want to, for the other half of my message, I want to take us through one of the great stories of the Bible where God is revealing Himself. And it's in Exodus 37. And it's a great story of encouragement and hope, but it's not encouraging hopeful situations. And that's what I want to talk to us about, is that often life is unpleasant and is discouraging, and that feels like there's hopeless realities in our world. And here God puts Ezekiel in one of those places. But it's not to discourage him. It's to be a source of hope. Ezekiel 37, chapter 1. It'll be on the screen, but also if you like to take your Bible and read it, I'll be referring to a number of verses here. Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Clearly, it's a God moment. And I want us to, there are a number of places in the Scripture where there are desert stories. And we kind of have the idea today that if you go through a desert, it means that Satan is working you over. And so notice that it's the hand of God that leads him into the desert. The Spirit of God is the one that does this. And He takes him to a desert, a valley of dead bones, and He sets him right in the middle of it. And then He adds, and it was full of dead bones. It's an unpleasant situation. 37:2, He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor. Well, He already told us that, but now He's going to repeat us that there are a great many bones on the floor, bones that were very dry. Would you picture that a minute? The Spirit has him in this vision, this kind of out-of-body experience. He's got him in this valley, and it's hot. And they're going back and forth, and back, and forth. And it's all around him is death and defeat and reminders that Israel has been destroyed and there's no longer a nation. And I wonder if Ezekiel is like me, as he's saying, thinking to himself, why? Do we have to go through them again? Do we have to make another trip back and forth? It's so hot out here. Why didn't He just give me the message at home and tell me what to say? You know, the revelation must be unpleasant. It's confrontive. It's discouraging. All around him, full of bones, very dry, dead, confusing maybe. Why is God doing this? You see, the prophecies weren't just mental pictures, ideological battles. He has Ezekiel feeling this. He's experiencing the desperation. And you and I know what it's like to get news of someone, a loved one's death, premature death, or we hear a story that someone lost a child when they were 12 or 16, and we just immediately feel this kind of heaviness or a in our stomach. We know what it's like to find out that a loved one has cancer and the fight with it isn't going very well. And there's hopeless situations. And can I be just honest with you that sometimes I wish God wouldn't even reveal them to me. Just let me enjoy my day and have, I'm Mr. Have a Happy Day. That's my sister's nickname for me. And sometimes I want to just live in that bubble. And others of you, when you hear it, it's so discouraging, it's depressing to you. Maybe for hours you can't shake it off. And have you noticed that when it rains, it pours? That when you hear one piece of bad news, I don't think I'm just making it up. When you hear one, well, we have expressions like you're just waiting for the shoe to drop. Where else is it going to be tough? And we muster up prayer, but when it seems like we're just going back and forth between the dry and dead bones, doesn't seem like there's any progress, it's hard to stay hopeful. So here's the first principle I want you to really lock in on this morning, and that is that God purposely reveals unpleasant, discouraging, hopeless realities to us. He purposely does that because he wants us in the fight. He wants us in the game. He wants us to be caring and supporting. He wants us to be clinging to him in complete dependence. He wants us to be praying more than token prayers, Lord, bless the missionaries today. He wants us to feel what others are experiencing it, and he wants us to exercise our faith in their behalf. God purposefully reveals unpleasant, discouraging, hopeless realities to us. And I'm glad the message doesn't stop there. You're dismissed. Go home. Have a nice day. This is a great verse in the Bible. Verse 3. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, what do you do? Well, this is a great moment for the prophet. He's on the spot. And he has the opportunity for great faith. Or he has the opportunity to just be human. There are sometimes these moments in the Bible produce some of the greatest statements in the whole Bible. So when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" That's great. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter steps up and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he hits the ball out of the park. This time, not so much. Ezekiel says, "Only you know, Lord." what an answer. Like maybe something you and I would have given. "You alone know the answer to that one, Lord." I mean, if he says no, can these bones live again? No. Well, he's going to go down as one of those "Oh, ye of little faith" guy stories. But if he says yes, these bones can live again, what if God says something like, "Great, go for it"? What if he gives him some kind of Moses calling and says, "And I'm going to use you"? He's kind of pinned between this rock and a hard spot. So he gives the safe answer. "You alone know the answer to that one, Lord." And I just love that the Bible has the humanity. It's not all plastic figures that say the right thing, do the right thing. Ezekiel doesn't. So then the Lord says to him, he says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now, I'm a preacher, and I've had some tough audiences. And there's been times that I went home and said, "I don't think anybody was listening today." It didn't feel like they were responding at all to the message. Ezekiel was having one of those days. there wasn't a whole lot of response. He's preaching. The Lord tells him, preach to these dead bones. And not only that, this is what I want you to say. The Lord says, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life, and I'll attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life and you will know that I am the Lord. Tell him that, Ezekiel. So I have this picture in my mind of Ezekiel talking to these dead bones, and he's looking over his shoulder, and that's what you want? Okay, you know. So he says, I prophesied as I commanded, and then something starts to happen. I find it interesting that he doesn't really ask Ezekiel to do anything. I mean, sometimes preaching is the most futile thing you feel like you could do. I remember a time in my early ministry that everybody needed a job in our little town. We had a third of our town, third of our workforce of men were without any jobs. And that was pretty tough on a little community church. And I remember thinking, man, they don't need a preacher. They need a Christian businessman to come in here and start some economy that these people have a place to work. And I thought that would be doing something, and preaching seems so futile. But as Ezekiel prophesied, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. You know the song. You've memorized this passage. Well, the knee bone's connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone's connected to the... And that's this passage right here. It starts to happen. These bones come together. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. There's no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Speak to the breath. What does that mean? Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. You know, I want to just point out here that faith in the Bible is much more about obedience than it is anything else. Ezekiel doesn't need to know the plan, have the plan. He doesn't need to be able to strategize. He doesn't need to know how to make these bones live again. He just has to do one thing. Do what God tells him. Just do what God tells him. And he does, and the bones come, and the breath comes, and here's this army. And here's the thing that I want to leave with you today. When God is revealing to you how dry the bones are and how many there are, and you just seem to be endlessly walking back and forth in it, and the more you do, the more hopeless you get, remember, God reveals in order to rescue. This is a lesson in hope. Everything is black. Everything is dark. Israel is in captivity. The nation is dismantled. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down. The temple is gone. The houses have been razed to the ground. And there is just total defeat. And God reveals to them just how unpleasant and discouraging and hopeless their reality is. Their reality is a valley of dry bones. But he's not doing it to defeat them further. He's not doing it to destroy their hope and their faith. He's showing this to them to give them hope. The next time you get news of a cancer or a lost job or a lost teen or a lost marriage or a lost nation or an international calamity, don't let it destroy your hope. Say to yourself, God is revealing this to us because he has a plan to rescue our planet. Now, I'm not a I've got my feet in the ground. I'm not unrealistic about this. It was going to be decades before this answer came. This wasn't a quick fix. It was going to be decades and decades later that all this happened. But God was telling it to them so that in advance they could have hope and be sustained. God was going to rescue them. And He wants to be part of the solution. He wants you to be praying, and praying when prayer seems as futile as preaching. But in prayer, we speak to the dry bones of life. We speak to the spiritual forces. We call them to life, to repentance, to faith and hope. And God reveals things to us like that so that we'll be part of His rescue. Ezekiel 37:11 and following says this. He said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you back from them. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll put my spirit in you and you will live, and I'll settle you in your own land." And then he repeats it. "And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken." God was revealing these things, that "I have done it," declares the Lord. He's revealing Himself. And in it, He wants to bring hope and help. So, how are you doing on this? I could imagine that every one of us have moments, weeks, years, maybe decades, valley of dry bones. And the more that He walks you back and forth through it, the more discouraging it gets. You realize my life is full of dead bones. My life is full of broken dreams and diminished hopes. But God has a work, a plan. He's doing this because He intends to reveal Himself and restore and to rescue. So, I hope that everyone here could look at your life and you could say, I'm going to have hope in a God who rescues. This week, I'm going to speak to those dry bones in my life in prayer. And I'm believing that God is going to do something in them so that we will know Him. He wants to be known. Father, thank You for this day, this great story from the Old Testament. How more hopeless could you feel than being in that dry bones? And none of it stood to reason, that the solution was just that God was going to speak a word and things were going to change. And yet, Lord, we know that as we pray and serve and live, there are times that it must be that heaven just spoke a word and changed what was happening on earth, and You rescued. Everyone here has stories of how God came to their rescue. And so today, may we not lose hope, but take hope in a God who wants to be known and wants to be in our lives. Help us each day to look for You, to welcome You, to receive You, to offer ourselves to You as living sacrifices. In Jesus' name, amen.